Greetings again in the name of Jesus this evening, the one who is risen from the dead. I think we should spend more time thinking about that, more time rejoicing just simply in the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and what that does for us, what that means for us as believers. Enjoyed being here again, worshiping with you who I used to worship with every Sunday. It's been good to be here again. And a little bit yesterday, more today, I got to kind of drive around some of the back roads of the community that I used to know. And it's interesting to see what's the same and what's not the same and just to get around again. Enjoyed that. Thank you for the meals you provided, the lodging, everything. Also enjoyed learning to know Brother Matt. Enjoyed teaching I received from him as well. Tonight we'd like to look at the work of the priests and the Levites. And this is not the high priest. That is, maybe I'll just give you, if you're going to be at Cataldo on Sunday, between two messages on Sunday, I'd like to look at the high priest and also at the glory of the Lord and the veil and the Ark of the Mercy Seat and the Ark of the Covenant. So that's what's, I guess, coming. But tonight we'd like to look at the work of the priests and the Levites. How many priests are here tonight? Raise your hands. Not near as many as there should be, apparently. But maybe I should ask that again at the end of the sermon. What is a priest? The definition, one definition of a priest is an intercessor, someone who represents God, man to God and God to man, one who serves God and leads the people to worship. Now, are you a priest tonight? Turn to Exodus chapter 19. Verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now one thing that's interesting to me when you read this verse is this is before Aaron was called specially. This is before the incident of the children of Israel worshiped the golden calf. And I wondered what happened here. Was God's real desire for that his people would be a nation of priests, and they still were, but that his whole people, I believe it was even then, the way things turned out, that his people, that the children of Israel would be his people, to be his priests, and that as a people, that they would serve him and represent him to the nations around them. Also, we have 1 Peter 2, verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Also, verse 9 of that chapter, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. One thing, as you study the Old Testament and God working among his people, you can see how God progressively and incrementally revealed his will to his people, starting with Adam, but you look at Noah, and if you make a study of God's covenants with his people, he made a covenant with Noah, and then there's Abraham and so on, and that's something for another study other than tonight, but it's interesting the way God revealed himself more fully as he goes along, and he is doing that, revealed quite a bit more fully to his people here, the children of Israel, as he gave them the law. And one thing with the priesthood was before this time and going back, there was no one person or one tribes set apart holy for the priesthood, it was the duty of the father and then of the eldest son would take that on to be the priest, the one that was, he was the head of the family, he was responsible for their physical well-being, but also their spiritual well-being. And so he was functioned as a priest for his family. And now we have, with this covenant here that God is making with his people, that he is setting up the priests of the tribe of Levi, specifically of the sons of Aaron, to lead out in worship for his people. Now we do have today a movement that the father is the spiritual leader in the home, and I do agree with that, but when the father is the spiritual authority in the home at the expense of the authority of the church, I think it becomes very dangerous for us. And what seems to me what happens here is remember, I just said how incrementally and as time went along, God more fully revealed his will. And it seems like people want to go back from full revelation to a limited revelation. They like to cling to that priesthood there when they don't. And then you're missing out on what God has revealed to his people in the law and then in the new covenant. It seems like we want to go back to the beginning and not focus on what God has fully revealed to us. Looking at God calling Aaron and his sons, Exodus 28, verse 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. So here we have God calling Aaron and his sons first here to serve the Lord, to especially serve the Lord. And again, three things that the priests were to carry out here. They were to represent the people to God, and that was carrying out the sacrifices. They were to do the sacrifices on behalf of the people, and then they were to represent God to the people to in their teaching and living a holy life. And so you have the priests as a mediator between God and the rest of the people. And also, it was guarding the holiness of God. And the interesting thing that we don't think about that I maybe said it this week, but some of the, with the tabernacle, some of the things why they were hidden was actually for the protection of sinful man, God in his mercy, keeping people from touching things that would put them to death. It's interesting if you think about it that way. Verse 40 of Exodus 28. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs shall they reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. So here we have God lining out that the priests had special garments that they were to wear. And as I understand it, probably pretty much everything was white here. They wore this, probably a tunic, kind of a robe that they wore. And they wore a what's called a bonnet here, probably some kind of a hat or turban. Around the waist, they had a girdle. And I'm not quite sure the color, but I believe it was multicolors. And it says here for glory and for beauty. And I believe what that means here is for honor and for dignity. And it mentions here the linen breeches that they wore. This was modesty's sake. And it's interesting that the first instruction that God gave to his priests was about the clothes that they were to wear. And we see in this simplicity and modesty, we see the linen, and we didn't talk about that, but linen is dignity here, it's quality, there's the special purpose for that. And God meant that his servants, his priests, took care how they dressed. It was important to God how they dressed. I'm not really going to look at this, but they were especially anointed, they were consecrated and sanctified before they could minister to the Lord. They were anointed with oil, then these clothes were put on them, there was animals sacrificed, so they were sanctified and consecrated. How the priests were to live. Leviticus chapter 10. Verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. The priests had a higher standard of living than the people around them, and this showed in what they could drink or what they couldn't drink, in who they could marry. And they were doing this to put an example to the people, a difference between the holy and the unholy. And they were also to be familiar with God's commands so that they could teach them to the people. And later on, what we know of later on in the scripture is as of the scribes. These were mostly Levites who did special study of the law. And when you get to the time of Ezra, it says that he was a ready scribe, which has the thought of a skillful scribe. And this is one way that you represent God to the people. And so what did the priests do in their work? They assisted the high priest in the sacrifices that were to be made. And they kept the articles of the tabernacle in order. They kept the incense on the altar, the lamps lit, bread on the table. They did just a lot of the work that needed to be done in the tabernacle there. Numbers chapter 3, verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him, and they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation, to do the service of the tabernacle, and they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. Thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on the priest's office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be, I am the Lord. So we see the whole tribe of Levi being called out to assist in the work of the priesthood. Now the work, the special temple work, and especially the high priest, always was the family of Aaron. But the Levites were consecrated to assist in that work, and they were to assist in the labor of caring for the things of the temple, getting supplies around. A little bit of history on that. Levi had three sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And Moses and Aaron were descendants of Kohath, and so the priest, the line of the priests, would have been in that family. And when the tabernacle needed to be moved, the descendants of Gershon were in charge of the coverings and the hangings of the tabernacle. The family of Kohath, or the priests, were in charge of the furniture, and the descendants of Merari of the frame. And now we have after the last plague in Egypt, when the firstborn was killed, God had consecrated all of the firstborn to him. They were all to be consecrated to the service of God. And now, and we have this explained here as the Levites, instead of every firstborn son being consecrated and going to serve, that the Levites took that place and were the ones that served God as the firstborn. When the children of Israel were numbered to go to war, the Levites were not numbered with them. I think that's interesting. The Levites did not go to war. I believe we have a type here of non-resistance for the people of God today. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5, and from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And as the priests under the old covenant were sanctified by blood for service to God, now we, as the children of God, are sanctified. We are washed by the blood of Christ. And so today, as we have been washed in the blood of Christ, now we are kings and priests before God, serving before him today. And now we have been made to be a holy and a royal priesthood. And why do we do this? Not to look good ourselves, but that we be made of service to God, that we show forth his praise is not for our own glory, but to bring honor and glory for him. And you think back to the priests. The first thing that happened when the priests were sanctified was the clothes that they had to put on. And I ask you today, does it matter in 2025 what the priests of the new covenant wear today? And you think about being a king or a priest, and someone like that who lives in public, who lives and works where others will take note of how he conducts himself. And as such, it's a position of dignity. It's in a position of influence. And people in those positions need to understand that they need to conduct themselves wisely, or it will be noticed by those around them. And are my clothes for glory and for beauty? Clothes that bring honor, not to myself, but unto the high priest that I am serving under. And we didn't study about the high priest yet, but the high priest's clothes overshadowed and took attention away from the clothes of the priest were to not distract from the attention of the high priest. Compared to the high priest, the priest's clothing was simple and modest. Should it concern us when our clothing is becoming less priestly and more like the nations around us? When it does not say that we are in the service of the king and becomes like those who are not called apart to priesthood. I think it's something we need to take seriously. What is the duty also of the priest in the new covenant? And again, it becomes very much the same as the priests of the old covenant. We are here to represent God to man and man to God as the priests of God today. And how do we accomplish this today? By our service to God, doing going about our lives, even in the simple things, going about the way that we do our work, the way we handle ourselves at work, in a way that brings glory to God. And if you read the Old Testament history, there were times where the priests did not live holy lives. And you could read Eli's sons, and you read what happened to Israel. The whole nation of Israel suffered because the priests were not living lives of holiness and sanctification before God. We show God to man by our lives showing what it is to be a sacrifice to God, by showing what it is to be washed in, to have our lives washed by the Word of God, by teaching others around us about Him, some things that we need to avoid in the service to God. One is laxness, when we let the nations around us lead us from true worship. And that was another problem the children of Israel had as they went among other nations, that they tempted them and led them away from true worship. And a nation of priests must keep themselves separate from that. The one I have here is pride, and we heard about that this evening already. I appreciated that. But I thought of the story of Korah, and I think we probably know that story, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and on. And Korah was probably a cousin to Moses, as good as I can tell. He was of the tribe of Levi, probably a well-known leader. And I believe the way he challenged them showed pride in his life. And pride keeps us from humble service. And we don't know what all the reasons were, but if you think of the account of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite that were on their way to serve in the temple, but while they were on their way to serve God, they were going to do their duties in the tabernacle, they neglected the needs of those that were right in their path. And can we be too busy with things that are good that we neglect needs right in front of us? And I think even of our family's needs, and maybe especially for those of us who are ordained, that we sometimes we can miss the needs of our own children, unfortunately, because of of the good things, otherwise good things that we are called to do. So part of with the priests representing men to God, I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Maybe I'll begin reading verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he that hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is a passage that I think I've heard miss. To me, it feels misinterpreted many times. And so the priests, as they led the people to sacrifice, they were helping people to become reconciled to God. And here we also have been given a work of reconciliation in our lives. It's called the ministry here of reconciliation. Jesus was here and brought that about, but he is no longer here physically on earth, and so he has left us here with this ministry. And we are again here to represent God to the world around us. And I've heard this account given as this is to help us get along with each other, and that's a part of it, but it's the point of this here is that our work, our ministry that is left here, is that we are to help others see how they can be reconciled to God as well. That is our work as priests here, that we are telling others about God, that we are showing them the way of reconciliation, of sins being reconciled to God. We are to be ambassadors. And an ambassador is someone who represents our leader in a foreign country. And how are we doing here as ambassadors in the foreign country of the United States if this kingdom is not our home? So may we be faithful as priests serving before the Lord in our day-to-day. May God bless you here as a congregation.